Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to be with you again. It's another day that the Lord has made, and we're to rejoice and be glad in it. And I was thinking of a great scripture verse I think it's good to give us, and that is Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And so we know that whatever happens in the world, even our election that is getting ready to take place or whatever happens, God is behind the scenes. And though he puts man on a long chain, yet he's going to pull it in, and he soon will be taking over the planet. And the signs of this are very coming up to us and are very close. You know, the Bible says we don't know the day or the hour, but then it does say we know the times and the seasons, you know, that when this thing is going to take place. And first we have what is called the rapture. The Lord's taken us out of here. If we're born again and saved, if we've received Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then there's going to be a short time of what the Bible calls Jacob's trouble or tribulation, and then the glorious second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we are getting going into this program, and as we are seeing what is taking place in the earth, all the evidence is that we are coming close to the time of the second coming of Christ. Now, as I said, we don't know the day or the hour, and some people try to predict that, and of course, we don't know it, and they didn't know it either, but when it comes to times and the seasons, the Bible says we are not ignorant of that. And so we see through many things that God is getting ready to come back to this planet, and the Lord Jesus will come back and take control. And we're going to be talking about that, and particularly over the fact of who owns Jerusalem, because this question will be the question that will bring back the Lord Jesus Christ to the planet. But first, we always have these fabulous reports by Pastor Al Davis, pastor of Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And we'll listen to that, and then we'll get into our subject today.
Well, thank you, Brother Bruce, and it's good to be with you today. And before we mention that, also remind people that they can find some records of your program or MP3 files, I should say, online at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com, and they can find out more information about you, and they can link to some of the things that you mentioned from time to time, resources, as well as your article correcting the King James Bible and some other things there with you preaching and teaching and singing. And that's all available at whereisgodsword.com. Well, I want to mention something here, and this kind of ties in a little bit with your subject, see how God works these things together. Talking about the time of his return, the latter days, Jesus makes two statements, similar statements recorded in both Matthew and Luke. I'm going to read in Luke chapter 12 first. In Luke chapter 12, and starting verse 54, the Bible says, "And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern the time?" Now let me read a similar passage in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, the Pharisees want a sign, and Jesus answered them. Verse 2, he says, "He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times?" And what's interesting about these two statements here, they reflect something that really was not well understood until the 20th century, and that is the progression of weather systems that we see. Now, last week in northeastern Ohio, we had some fairly warm weather. It was, I guess, the last time they say we had such warm weather in the middle of October was 1963, where we had two series of 4 days and one of 5 days. One series of 5 days where we had like 80 plus degree weather. Well, we had some really nice weather, didn't we? It was kind of nice, but it's not out or an unheard of event. It happens periodically. But what happened was the wind came out of the south and there was heat. Now, because we live north of the equator, where Jesus was there in the Middle East, that's what we find is the weather patterns tends to warm weather comes out of the south, which Jesus reflected there. When you see the south wind blow, you say there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. And then also he mentioned there in Luke chapter 12 that when you see the cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say there cometh a shower, and so it is. And we do see that. We see showers coming, and generally from the west, sometimes southwest, sometimes northwest, but in the temperate zones north of the equator, we see our stormy weather generally comes from the west. I remember growing up, we could see from our house before the trees across the street grew up as much, we could see quite a ways to the west, and we would see the clouds coming before the rain got there, and we could go from the garden where we might be working in the garden, get to the house before the rain got there. But that reflects the pattern of weather systems, which weren't real understood. Now, we had an idea about these things because people probably heard the saying, red sky at night, sailor's delight, you know, a red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. And that's reflected what Jesus said in Matthew 16, where he said that they said, and when it's evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. Well, that's because when the sun is setting, it's setting in the west. And because of the conditions, when you see the sun setting, that's the fair weather coming in, which the bad weather's already passing through, so it's coming from the west. But when the sun rises and you say it's going to rain because it's red in the sunrise, that's because that's in the east, the fair weather is gone and you got the clouds coming and all these things. But it is borne out by meteorology, and we didn't understand this until they developed radio, specifically wireless radio, when they began to report across the country. A little idea came with the telegraph and things where they would radio or they'd telegraph ahead, you know, from the west and from the south that storms were passing through, and then along the line they would pick this up and say, oh, a storm just passed through here, and they began putting it together. But especially with the development of the radio, for instance, a ship coming into the San Francisco harbor would report that they were experiencing great storms out in the Pacific Ocean, and then sure enough, a little while later, the storms would come into the west coast of California there. And we began to chart these passages of these weather systems, and we found, just like Jesus reflects here in Luke chapter 12 and Matthew chapter 16, the warm weather systems come up from the south, and the rainy weather, stormy weather in general, comes from the west. Now, there are exceptions on occasion. Jesus referenced that, but this is an adage that he uses that the people were well aware of, and he said, you can get an idea of what the weather is before it gets here. You ought to be able to have an understanding of the times centering around the return of Christ before he gets here as well. And that's just what you were talking about there at the beginning of the program, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Well, thank you for that great report. I always enjoy those so much, and I'm sure that you do also. And today, we want to talk about who has the right to Jerusalem. And I'm going to ask Brother Davis here to tell us something about the UN report. Now, we know that in the past, all kinds of people want it. We know that the papacy has worked for 100 years to get control of Jerusalem, and every so often they want to make an international city with the Pope in control. And in the Crusades, basically, that's what they went for. Also, the Jewish people want to have the control of the city of Jerusalem. The Palestinian authorities want to have control of that city. And there's different discussions. I think the UN, The United States Congress has said that it was the capital of Israel. Israel says that it is the capital of Israel. And so there's this movement back and forth. And I'd like you to comment. Just recently, we hear the UN has made some kind of statement on it. Then we'll talk about what the Bible says about it.
Well, there's a lot of pressure in the UN to make Jerusalem an international city. And they were going to do that back in 1947, 1948, which is one of the things that precipitated the Jewish people declaring the sovereign state of Israel. And the Arab interests have pushed to partition Jerusalem so that there's an Arab side and a Jewish side. And during the Six-Day War in, what was that, 1967, I believe it was, when when Israel recaptured the West Bank, and they also captured East Jerusalem, which was sort of the Arab side. And so we have Jerusalem under totally under the control of Israel today, with the exception of the Temple Mount, where they have allowed Jordan to administer that through the Waqf Authority. But this is a controversial thing because the UN is trying to pressure Israel to give up all or part of Jerusalem to be an international city, or to allow the Arabs to have control of part of it, this, that, and the other. But it's the homeland, or I should say the capital of the homeland of the Jewish people ever since the time of King David. And it's very well documented in history. The Arabs are trying to destroy the Jewish evidence. In fact, some of the very Jewish evidence of occupation of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem comes from the debris piles that the Arab interests are digging up when they're trying to get rid of all the stuff, and they dump it outside. The Jews can then go through it, and they find these evidences of the historical Jewish presence there. One thing that's heartening is in the, I think it was it the second presidential debate? I believe it was, or somewhere just after that, Donald Trump, one of the candidate for president, said that he would recognize Jerusalem as the eternal capital of the Jewish people. And so I think that's a positive thing. But yeah, there's a very strong push in the UN to get the Jewish control of Jerusalem eliminated.
Thanks for that report, and that's what we're talking about today. So there's so much interesting things about it. Now, the Bible says, when the Lord builds up Zion, he will appear in his glory, in the book of Psalms. Here's a direct statement that when Jerusalem is built up, because Jerusalem is on Mount Zion, and when Jerusalem is built up, it says the Lord will appear in his glory. So here he is telling us when he's coming back. And if you've been up there over to Jerusalem and you've been on Mount Zion, you can see buildings going up on Mount Zion and all around that area. And Mount Zion is being built up. So right there, it's a direct statement of the scripture if you take the Bible for the plain sense. And that's the only way to take it also. Now, also, we're talking about who owns it. Well, for instance, as Brother Davis has just mentioned, that King David conquered it about 3,000 years ago, and the Jewish people have, actually, they've lived there off and on. They've lived there all the way through that time. I mean, it many times, although there was just a slight period of time after the Roman conquest in 70 AD where they were not allowed to be in the city, but then they filtered back in there. And and then, of course, after David Lloyd George, who is Prime Minister of Israel, England, he opened up the land for them to go back. But we read in the Bible, in the book of Joel, that God says that he will judge the nations for parting my land. And God has said that that land there belongs to him. And he brought the children of Israel, the Jewish people, out of Egypt, and he promised them that land forever. And this promise has been made over and over again, that God had given that land. And God said this, and Jehovah God said that this is the place where he would have his name. And so his temple was actually built in Jerusalem, and the remains, it's not the base that the temple was sitting on. It was called, used to be called the Wailing Wall, now the Western Wall. And you can actually go there today and go right up next to it. And Jewish people put their prayers in a piece of paper into the wall and stand there today. And God said that's where he would put his name. So it's sacred to the Jewish people because actually God met with them at that temple. And so they offered sacrifices. But when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ offered the one great sacrifice at that time, why God stopped the animal sacrifices, they were only a picture of the Lord Jesus who would make the final sacrifice. The animal sacrifices were just an atonement that was a covering for sin. When Jesus came, it was not only atonement that covered him, but it took him away for those that put their faith in him. So God has said that he would put his name there. Now, in the book of Joel, he says then he would judge the nations for parting my land. And we already saw that every time an American president would talk about dividing up the land of Israel, that we get hit just automatically with some major catastrophe. And yet we keep on pushing it. And it reminds me of Pharaoh, who God sent Moses, and he said, Israel is my son. And I said, let my son go. And he told Moses to tell him this, Pharaoh this, or I will kill your son. And Pharaoh says, who is this God of the slaves? I don't know him, and I'm not going to let them go. And God at that time showed his power and might, who he really was. Now, if you read the minor prophets, the prophets coming right before Jesus Christ, it talks so much about the time of the second coming of Christ. And in there, it talks about the Israel coming back. And when they came out of Egypt, that was a great miracle. But when God brought millions out of Egypt that were in slavery, but he said he would bring them back the second time. In the Old Testament, it's full of these promises of God bringing Israel back to the land of Israel the second time. And so the Jewish people scattered all over the world. It reminds me of the animals going into Noah's Ark. God, by instinct, brings them back. And so Jewish people, that some of them Orthodox, some of them atheists, some of them probably in many different sects, no matter what they were, they have this attraction to go back to the land. And today there's a country of anywhere from 4 to 5 million Jews and a nation of about 6 million people over there in the land of Israel. And, of course, God said, you will no longer say the God that brought them out of Egypt, but the God that brought them from the north country. And of course, Moscow is directly north of Jerusalem. And so they have come by the hundreds of thousands out of Russia and have come back to the land of Israel. But as our nation is trying to divide the land for peace, they're saying they don't believe the Bible. See, and so God's, and many of the leaders in America, their attitude, now they profess it for their votes and so on. It seems like at election time, some of them get religion, but they, in their heart and soul, they say, we don't take it literally. That is, they really don't believe it. It's just a bunch of stories. But God is beginning to show who he really is. And he promised them, I mean, he is judging America now. We're having all kinds of financial disasters. We're having floods all over the country. We're having fires in many parts of the country. Everything is beginning to go wrong. Why? Because our leadership, so much of it, they're actually putting their fist in the face of God. And I think of the book of Psalms where it says, why do the heathen rage? Somebody says they rage. Listen to the music. It's a music of rage. And the people, heathens, the Gentiles, and the people are the Jews. And it says, they say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from them. And this is given by the Spirit of God to King David, who is a prophet. And he says, they say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their swords, cast away their cords from us. And it's talking about the Lord and his anointed there in that passage of Psalms. Let's get rid of them. Let's get rid of their rules. And so things that God is against, like sodomy, Our country leadership is shaking their fists at the face of God, getting rid of anything that they can that has to do with God, just putting it out of our system. I think of that amendment which says, Congress shall make no law respecting, it's not the establishment of religion, it's an establishment of religion. It is talking about Congress making no law respecting an establishment of religion, that is a church, or the free exercise of thereof, that is of a church. That's what it says. And they have totally misinterpreted that and trying to take God out of everything. Now, and so they're doing this, and so every time the president automatically says, goes to Israel or Palestine and says, let's divide up the land. We get hit with the storm of, guy wrote a book, and it happens 40 different times, 40 automatically within 24 hours. I'll give you one example. When we forced Israel to come out of the Gaza Strip by pushing them to get their people out of there, settlers been there for many years, the Israeli government set an army down there and forced those Jewish settlers out of that area. And within 24 hours, we got hit with Katrina, and 120,000 American homes were destroyed. You know, I tell you, our God is alive and well. And I'm only giving one example. He's the King of Kings. He's alive and well. He's showing his power, and he will show his power. Now, the world is getting ready to make an attack on Israel, as sure as anything. They have these statements in the UN over and over again condemning Israel, but they don't condemn people that cut people's heads off, or countries that are crucifying people, drowning people, cutting their hands and feet off, cutting their heads off, crucifying, doing all of these things. They don't condemn them, but it's constant condemnation of Israel. And so what's going to happen? Well, they're getting ready to attack Israel, and that's exactly what's going to happen. And when the armies of the world, and this is the United Nations doing it, the world government doing this, and when they do, the God of this Bible, the Bible, the King James Bible, that is the text given to us by the apostles and translated in 1611 and is found worldwide in many different languages, the God of that Bible is going to show himself that he is alive and well, and he's already done it by bringing the Jewish people back. Now, it states here in Zechariah 14, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And they're getting ready to go, just as the Bible says, and the city shall be taken. That's Jerusalem is going to be taken by them. And the house is rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem in the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and so on. Now, it says, the Lord himself shall return in his feet. He shall come and his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. And when our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died and rose from the dead, as he had promised after being in the grave for 3 days and three nights, he was with his apostles for 40 days and five appeared to him many times. 500 people saw him alive, and he slowly went up to heaven. And when he went up, the angel said, this same Jesus which is taken into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him gone. Go. He went bodily and physically into heaven, and he will bodily and physically return to this planet. And in Zechariah chapter 13, and I want to finish with this, Zechariah chapter 13, and that day it says, or in Zechariah chapter 12, in verse 8 through 10, and in that day shall the Lord and the defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, the angel of the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day I'll seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, And I'll pour upon the house of David the inhabitants of Jerusalem in the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. That is Almighty God speaking. The one that they pierced was Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That day a fountain will be opened for sin, and that is Jesus.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from the modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.